What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Jay Carter, and I want to invite you to come check out my new podcast, Conversation with Carter, streaming here on Spotify and Apple Music Podcasts.
He bossed up.
Make sure you download and subscribe to new episodes each and every Wednesday. We'll be laughing, talking shit, talking sex, holding down the culture, and entertainment. And you know we coming through with a special guest.
May I have your attention, please?
So pull up to the conversation and tap into the culture. Conversation with Carter starts now.
I'm focused, man.
Come on.
My own podcast. Like, I'm doing a fucking podcast. I don't know what the fuck is going on. What's up, y'all? This your boy, Jay Carter, and you are tuned in to my Conversation with Carter. Conversation with Carter. My podcast. What the fuck? Who the fuck I think I am? Your fucking podcast. Do the fuck you want to do. Your intro don't gotta be perfect. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm fucking standing in the fucking bathroom. Like, this shit is wild.
Ugh. What do you want?
I can't breathe. Please, in the name of my dick.
My God. It's another sad day in America.
Painful to be introduced to George Floyd during his last breath with a cop's knee on his neck.
He deserves so much more.
How many black lives have to be taken before something is done?
We are not a threat.
I am shaking as I type.
This has got to stop.
We are sick of it.
We need conviction.
I just want us all to live.
Death will not stop until the powers that be are finally held accountable.
Don't look away from the truth until every one of us are free from white supremacy.
The world stands with us.
Criminalizing and killing of black and brown bodies is not new. It's as old as America. It's just getting filmed more.
Do you know what it feels like to be hunted? To have a new hashtag for a dead black person every single day? How does one plan a life if they aren't sure they will have a life to plan?
Trayvon Armstrong, Deborah Dance,
Megan Friday,
Michelle Hall,
Michelle
Lee,
Stephon
Taylor,
George Floyd. His name was George Floyd. Say his name.
Say his name.
George Floyd. Say his name.
Say their names.
Once again and always, we fight for justice.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Rest in power, beautiful. You didn't deserve this.
The culture of the department, the culture, the environment of his department said to him he could do this and get away with it and he would be just fine.
Thank you for tapping in with me. Welcome to Conversation with Carter. And let's talk about the situation. You also work for the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. As a deputy sheriff, I know you've been on the front line in downtown LA and also in the Fairfax District in West LA. And just kind of speak to being a black man and being a cop. How does that look for you? How do you differentiate the two?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Some days I'm not sure I do. Some days I'm not sure I can differentiate the two. It's challenging because of the systemic racism that exists within our police departments. Sometimes your partners, forget that we're partners. They forget that we're all supposed to be on the same team and working towards a common goal, which is to protect and serve the community. But unfortunately, sometimes, or just how this works, your partners are people too, and they come in with their biases and their backgrounds and whatever it is they grew up with they bring that onto the force. And, you know, it's really a meeting of the two minds to, you know, that, you know, we have to work together. There are days that I might have to spend 16 hours with someone that doesn't like me, that doesn't like African-American people, that doesn't think that African-Americans should even be on the force. And I might have to spend 16 hours on a shift or in a car, in a vehicle with this individual and find some kind of common ground to work with, to make it work. Because at the end of the day, you know, we wear the same badge and we're sworn to do the same thing. As far as to your question is, what do I think about what's going on?
Yes.
That's a big question. But, you know, I saw the video a few days ago and I was appalled at what I saw. I was embarrassed and ashamed because none of us in law enforcement are trained to do what this idiot officer did in Minneapolis and stepping on a man's neck with his knee for damn near 10 minutes. None of us are trained to do anything like that.
Did you guys have to watch the video as a unit, or did you guys just kind of watch it on your own?
Right. No, we watched it on our own. It wasn't mandated for us to watch it as a unit yet, but it's coming. Anytime something goes blatantly wrong like that, it becomes a training for us within our department. It becomes an example for us, especially our new deputies and new officers coming onto the force. It becomes a training and example for them of what to not do.
So what does your training look like? Like, what are you guys trained on? Like, are you trained to go to the front line in a situation like this? Or are you just kind of like thrown to the front line?
You know what? They try to get us prepared as much as they can in terms of real life scenarios. But the truth is, you know, you can only enact so much. And then the real thing, as far as when it happens in real life, is never quite like what you train for. There's always going to be some things that you didn't expect or didn't see coming. And in those situations, Joseph, you just kind of have to adjust and learn on the fly. And who your partner is helps with that as well, because most of the time your partner will be a veteran. If you're new, your partner will be seasoned, somebody that's been on for a while, that's kind of been through the ropes and can kind of guide you a little bit. So our training, you know, we're trained to de-escalate situations. We're trained to, you know, to go in and bring situations, take them down from a 10 to a 5 to a 1. You know, we're trained to not make situations worse. You know, we're trained to you know, to get a desired outcome, a desirable outcome. And then we're trained to protect and serve the communities that we're sworn to serve. You know, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like, whether it might be breaking up a domestic violence dispute, whether it might be getting a kid out of danger, you know, something like that. Maybe somebody's, you know, had too much to drink and, you know, they need to go walk it off or go cool off. We're trained to de-escalate situations and make them better, not make them worse.
Right.
Now, one of the things that we are trained in our training in our academies is, you know, don't do things that make your department look bad. You know, don't do things, stay away from things and stay away from situations that would make the department look bad, that would have you having to explain why you did what you did and why it looked this way. Because chances are when something looks bad, and this is not always the case, Joseph, but chances are most of the time when something looks bad, it is bad. You know, we're trained to win the fight. We're trained to de-escalate the fight. But then if the fight is unavoidable, you know, we are trained to win the fight.
Like, what has to happen for you to actually make an arrest or to detain somebody? Or what did George Floyd do to even get arrested?
In my opinion, absolutely nothing. Looking at the video that I looked at and watched, he simply could have been spoken to by the police. Because you have to remember, in law enforcement, an arrest doesn't always have to be made. There's a thing in law enforcement or in law called the letter of the law, or the spirit of the law. And the letter of the law is where, you know, a police officer can pull you over. You did something wrong. You broke a law. Maybe you were speeding or whatever the case may be. and they're going by the letter of the law and they're writing you that ticket. But the spirit of the law means that the police officer can just talk to you. They can let you off with a verbal warning. They can, hey, you know, you blew past that stop sign. Don't do it again. You know, you did a California stop. You know, don't, you know, watch that. You know, I'm gonna let it go this time. Spirit of the law means that we can let you off, or law enforcement can let you off with a warning, a verbal warning. In my opinion, from what I saw with George Floyd's situation, he could have just simply been spoken to by the police and sent on his merry way. But again, you had police officers there. They escalated the situation, not de-escalated it. They actually made it worse and not better. And then we had the outcome that we had, which is unfortunate.
Black people are dying in a state of emergency. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident. The reason why buildings are burning are not just for our brother George Floyd. They're burning down because people here in Minnesota are saying to people in New York, to people in California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, enough is enough. Yes. And we are not responsible for the mental illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government, institutions, and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target. Because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve.
Talk about it, Tamika.
Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Mm. Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense,
that's right,
then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay. You are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops. Charge the cops. Charge all the cops. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered. Charge them everywhere. That's the bottom line. Charge the cops. Do your job. Do what you say this country is supposed to be about, the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you.
Right.
We learned violence from you. The violence was what we learned from you. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.
I want to speak to kind of like the rights of the people as far as making citizen arrests. Can we as citizens make a citizen arrest on an officer? Or is that not a thing?
Not really, because you have to remember that police officers are constitutionally covered because of our duties, our unique specific duties to the protection of the citizenry, as it's called. So not really, because, you know, what would that officer perceive that those citizens trying to arrest him or her as? Does he perceive it as his or her life being in jeopardy or threatened at the moment, or something of that nature? Because remember, that officer at the end of the day is armed. So, you know, it's a unique situation. So I would have to say no in terms of making a citizen's arrest on an officer who's on duty and active.
Right. So what are your thoughts on like the protesting, on the, you know, the looting, the rioting, the fire?
Oh, man.
I think a lot of people feel policed by the police.
Right.
And I think a lot of people feel that the police protect and serve themselves.
And I can't say that I disagree wholeheartedly with the statement that you just made. I think there is a part of our law enforcement family that maybe protects and serves a certain community and over polices another part of the community. And again, I want to stress, not all of law enforcement. There's some good men and women in law enforcement that really do give a damn and care about the communities that they serve. Some of us became police officers because we cared about our communities and where we came from, and we wanted to give back in some kind of way. But there's right. still that small part of us that, you know, they're over policing one group of the community and protecting and serving another, maybe another that looks like them. In terms of what you just asked me, like, what do I think about the protesting and everything? I'm in 100% agreement with the protesting. I understand why our people are protesting like they are. And frankly, I'm proud to see it. I'm proud to see the protest, people making their voices be heard and letting them know, like, enough is enough. However, in terms of the rioting and the looting, that I'm not happy about. I'm not happy about that because it takes away from the message that the protesters are successfully getting out. And unfortunately, we live in the United States of America. That's a blessing. That's not unfortunate that we live here. But in this country, the squeaky tire gets fixed first. So in other words, whatever's wrong is what's going to get paid attention to. And when you turn on the news and you see rioting and looting, that's what everyone's focus is going to automatically gravitate to. And then the backdrop is going to be the message of the protest. And I think that we're doing George Floyd, we're dishonoring his memory by doing that. Let's protest peacefully. Let's vote. You know what I'm saying? Let's vote. You know, change some things at the ballot box. Change who your elected officials are. You know, change, you know, who your elected officials are. Take your aggression out at the ballot box and vote and see right. some changes happen there. And then let's have another conversation about what what you like or what you don't like. To the people that feel like, you know, we're not being heard and we've been doing this quietly. Listen, it's change doesn't always come easily. And it doesn't always come quickly, but it does come. It does come. So plant the seeds, do the work right now, and you will see the change and the difference in your lifetime. You will. You will. You have to plant the seeds, do the work. You'll see the change in your lifetime. Things are already different now than what they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Even with this latest George Floyd incident, you got police chiefs on the media going, this is an outrage. This is disgusting. You never would have seen or heard that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You never would have seen or heard any of that. You know, you got police chiefs, you got governors, The governor of Minneapolis called it a murder. You just never would have seen or heard that 10 or 20 years ago. But you're seeing it today. Play the long game. Don't play the short game. Play the long game. Be in it for the long haul. And then be able to look back and say, you know, I remember when it was like this. And now I see how it's gotten better. And now it's like this.
The media, you should be pushing that there needs to be a change as well. You should be pushing. It's not just the people that are protesting. You know why they're protesting. You know why people are enraged. You know why they're angry. So as the media, you should be on the side of angry people. You should be on the side of the solution and not the problem. We've seen a narrative change before. It happened the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. He started off kneeling and it was for social injustice. And that quickly got changed. The narrative quickly got changed and it became disrespecting of the American flag, not respecting the country, not respecting the soldiers. That's not what it started off as. He wanted to bring awareness to social injustice, plain and simple. And it got changed. It got switched, maneuvered all over the place. And before we knew it, who knew? Who knew what it was? Because the definition changed so many times because the media controls the narrative.
Of course, we're not condoning the looting and the rioting and the fires. But I think most of us understand it. I think that the media is trying to make them a separate thing.
Right.
They're just not delivering the right message.
They're not, because they have an agenda of their own. We those of us that have, you know, grown up in this country, we know that the media, they have their own narrative and their own agenda, and it's normally doesn't look favorable upon people that look like me or people that look like you.
People didn't just wake up and just say, oh, let's go burn down this and let's go riot and loot that. You know,
right.
There was a cause and effect. People are looting and rioting and setting fires because of the George Floyd situation. You cannot tell people how to be angry and how to be mad about something. And the main thing is, for me, it's like, if you're not Black, then you just won't understand. And you will never understand because you will never be Black.
What a lot of people don't know is that there are more white people in jail than there are African-American people. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, that whites get arrested and incarcerated in this country at an equal rate or higher rate than African-Americans. But yet we're the ones that kind of carry the stigma for we carry the stigma for being the majority of our jails and prisons and things like that. But there are quite a few white men, Caucasian males in our criminal justice system.
I'm a young Black man, doing all that I can to stay.
I think what we have is a mixed bag. You have people that are going to protest peacefully, and then you just have some that are just, they're just fed up there at their tipping point, and they've just had enough. And then you also have in that same mixed bag some opportunists that don't really give a damn about anything and anyone. They right. just see an opportunity to try to get some and come up, and that's just what they're there for.
Right.
So I think you got a mixed bag of things going on. The question is, which force is going to be the strongest force to come out of that mixed bag? And what I'm advocating for is that the peaceful voices are the ones that emerge out of this thing with the strongest voice. Change some seats. If you can't change some people's minds, then change their political seats. Take their seats away. Get a new, you know, whoever it is, prosecutor, city manager, mayor, you know, get some new people in these seats that will actually value what you're thinking, value what you're saying, and actually put some laws on the book and prosecute people, police officers included, you know, that violate humanity. Take right. your anger out and your aggression out where it actually can make a difference, and vote. And don't just vote for the president and think, OK, I'm done, but actually vote in your local elections. The elections that go on and happen right in your own state, city, county, where you live. And know that, you know what, I played a role in who my city councilman is, who my prosecutor is, who the mayor is, you know, who the stuff that's close to home to me is. And then go from there. And then, you know, and then, and like I said, you know, put some seeds, plant some seeds that your nieces and nephews, that your sons and daughters, that the younger people in your life will sit underneath those trees. You know, do it like that. I just want our people to do the, and by our people, I mean our people that are on the side of justice. I don't just mean Black people, African-American people. I mean people that are on the side of justice and humanity. I want us to do the right thing and take this aggression and this anger and this energy out where it can actually make a difference at the ballot box.
Right.
The old guard is dying away. It's just taking a little time, but the old guard is dying away. And the new deputies and officers that I see coming up are a lot more like-minded and a lot more open-minded to accepting new partners and new people for just who they are, for who they are, not for who they think they should be and who I want them to be, but just for who they are as an individual. Because we all possess and bring something unique. We all bring something unique to the table. And that partner who you didn't want to be your partner because he was Black, because he was a guy, because it was a female, because he was short, because he was tall, because he was skinny, whatever. That could be the partner that ends up saving your life one day.
As a community, we certainly feel like we don't have a voice and that our voice lands on deaf ears a lot of the times. But as a Black officer on the front lines, do you have a voice in the within the department? Like, can you stand up for something?
Absolutely. My captain has an open door policy, and I'm very grateful for that. We can email my captain. We can walk right into his office. We can, you know, although we're, you know, encouraged to, of course, follow the chains of command, you know, talk to your immediate sergeant. You know, follow the chains of command, your immediate lieutenant. But the captain, who's everyone's boss, has an open door policy. It doesn't mean it changes overnight. It goes back to what I was saying about my young people that are out here protesting and rioting and looting, some of them, but mostly the protesters. You know, it, just because we want something to change doesn't mean it happens right then and there. Same thing with me working. Just because I make something known to my superiors doesn't mean it happens overnight, but I have seen some changes. I have seen some positive differences from the few suggestions that I've made over my 9.5 year career in law enforcement.
Man, I mean, is there anything else you can tell the listeners? Or
the last thing I would tell the listeners is just is this: stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. And stay encouraged. Just protest peacefully. Get your message out. But don't let it end there. Take your aggression out at the ballot box. Vote. Vote for the changes that you want to see. Vote for the changes that you want to see. Follow through. Follow through. And stay encouraged. That's it.
That word. Thank you for tapping in with me. Really appreciate it. You dropped some jewels on us. You gave us a little more insight. And just thank you.
You're more than welcome. And I'm happy to be of service. And thank you for having me. If a civilian asks you for your badge number because they want to make a complaint against you, you have to give it to them. And, you know, if you run up on, you know, that Joe cop that just doesn't want to give you his badge number, just take a look at his vehicle. You know, all cop cars have a number on them, SDH824 or something like that. Take down that number that's on their patrol vehicle. And, you know, that way when you make your report, you go in and you make a report or a complaint or a compliment. You know, let me give it to you both ways, whether you're making a complaint or maybe you're actually making a compliment. Maybe Joe Cop saved the day, you know, did something positive, did something that you really appreciate, but he didn't give you his name or you forgot to get his name or his badge number. But you can walk into his agency and go, you know what, whoever was in vehicle number SDH824. And then that's when that desk sergeant can pull that up and go, you know what, that was Officer Montoya. That was Officer Powell. That was Officer Johnson. And then you can go from there and make your whatever it is you're there to do.
And I'm sorry, we're out of time. Bye.
I'm gonna call you. But if you come by, I won't call you. Okay? Don't ever, 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 ever.